to turn this pulpit over to a man of God, and I can say that in earnest and be honest, because I've known Brother Barnhill for many years. He and his wife have been just great friends, true friends, real friends to my wife and I for many, many years. Amen. He put a lot of meals on my table in my camper when we evangelized, and it was Brother Barnhill is one of those men, one of those pastors that you look at that you can put on one hand and number, that I would see things that they would do and see how their church would grow and see how revival was happening. And I would say, Lord, when I settle down, I want it to happen just like that. And God has blessed us because of men like Brother Roy Barnhill and his wonderful wife that have been great examples of revival, evangelism, church growth, and a love for holiness. Amen. And we appreciate the example that is still there. Years ago, we preached about how that you may be like the prodigal son and you may leave us, but when you come back, it's going to be the same way it was when you left. And that's exactly what his church is, just like it was when we left it evangelizing. And but yet, just a whole lot more. They're looking at building. He may talk about it, I don't know. But they're looking at building, expanding, buying more property and more land. And they have the favor of the city and the councils and all of that good stuff that goes along with building great churches. God has definitely given them favor in their city, as he has with us. And so we're so thankful that they could take the time to come by and be with us this evening. He's a very busy man. He's the North Carolina State Secretary, second in command, I would say. And I know how it is for the secretary. They're really the one in command. Everybody just doesn't know it. Hallelujah. Amen. But he and our great bishop, Brother Wayne Huntley, work well together. Side by side, they have made a tremendous team. And because of that, churches have been planted and revival is spreading like wildfire across the state of North Carolina. We're fortunate and we are blessed to have him. And we want to give him this pulpit at this time. Let's make welcome Brother Roy Barnhill from Lumberton, North Carolina.
And everybody said amen. You can be seated for just a moment. I told Pastor, I said, I'm going to talk about you tonight. But we do go way back. And there once was a day. In fact, somebody sent me a picture. Stay right here, Brother Marshburn. Somebody sent me a picture today. Let me see if I can find it. And do you know who those two guys are?
Oh, my word, man.
That's me.
That is also years ago.
That was, I'm going to tell on him.
That was before his hair turned blonde.
We were at a camp, and he and I were both had black hair, and we were both standing in the aisle together, and my wife, thinking it was me, says, come on, honey, let's go. I said, you better leave my wife alone. But we love each other. And when we get together, we're going to have fun. We're going to laugh. And laughter is good like a medicine. Why not laugh? I'm looking at some of y'all out there. Y'all need to laugh. If nothing else, laugh at the one sitting in front of you. But good to be here, and we're going to have a good time in the Lord tonight. Pastor mentioned that we also are looking at building there in Lumberton. God gave us an absolute phenomenal miracle last Sunday night. there was an additional piece of property that came open that joined what we have, which is city block across the street from the church. And there was a house on it that a lady used to live there, but she moved to California and she now rents it out. Lady in our church is, she owns Colwell Banker. And so, my son told her, said, contact them one more time. This was 2 years ago. And, they just wanted California price for a Lumberton house. And, so he said, contact her one more time. My son, LaDon, was walking into a boardroom. They were having a board meeting that night talking about the growth, the future of the church. And, Sister Janelle called him and said, she's come down on the price. Long story, she dropped it $45,000. And so we were in prayer meeting last Saturday night, and I saw my son leave, and he came back in with a piece of paper. He said, Dad, God just spoke to me and said, we are going to raise $90,000 tomorrow night. And, you know, I didn't want to pour water on that vision, and realizing I'd pastored there a lot longer than he had. And the financial dynamics of our city. And so I said, I hope you get it. Well, we're in the office before church last Sunday night. Both of us are getting ready to walk out to the platform. And he said, Dad, we're going to get all $90,000 tonight. I slipped my arm around him and I said, son, if you get 50, be happy. He said, God told me we're going to get all of it. And I said, let's go. And so he preached a wonderful message titled The Heart of God and the Heart of the City, which the heart of God is souls and the heart of the city is the church and the heart of the church is lost souls. And, then he had me step up and just kind of tag in, and I wrapped it up. And they raised, Sunday night, $101,050. And then he had lunch. He had lunch with one of the men. And I'm telling you this because you never know, Pastor, when the miracle's going to walk in. But he had lunch with one of the men on Monday, and they usually lunch together a couple times during the week. And he said, Pastor, I didn't pledge last night. My wife was sick, and before I made a stretch like that, I wanted to just talk to her about it. And he said, we're going to give $5,000. So that made it $106,050. And then, I believe it was yesterday or Friday, he told me, he said, Dad, I got another call. And I got another $1,000 that came in, and that made it $106,050. He said, in fact, they close out, I believe it's Tuesday, on that property, this coming Tuesday. And he said, we're paying cash for it, and we got enough money to bulldoze it down and keep going. God. Now I tell you, I'll tell you all of that, but to tell you this, when I saw what Landmark was doing, it built a fire in my spirit, and I thought, if Landmark can do it, Lumberton can do it. You folks, y'all did it for us. If Landmark can do it, we can do it. But the beauty of it is how God makes all the dots connect. The Bible teaches us that to everything there is a season. You never want to get out of season because that's where you get into trouble. And so we've just been raising money along the way, putting it in the building fund. And then Tuesday night, this past Tuesday, one of our senior board members was elected to the city council in Lumberton. We went to the celebration dinner. We have friends now. We've got two state senators, House of Representatives, that are friends of our church. They've been to our church. We've got three now on the city council, one member of our church. The other two are very favorable to our church. So we're sitting at this celebration dinner for this gentleman in our church that was just elected that day to the city council. The mayor and his wife are there. So my son LaDon is sitting there talking to the mayor and his wife, and we're just all friends with them. And sometimes we'll eat together, and they like our church. But LaDon is telling him about this piece of property we bought, and there's a road between that city block and our church, and it's not really used. And out of nowhere, the mayor speaks up, and he says, "You know what? I don't know why we can't close that road and the city give it to the Pentecostals." So they're working on that right now. He said, "We can close the road and give the property to the church." I said, "That's another miracle." Folks, let me tell you, God knows what He's doing, and He does not give us something like this without giving us the growth to fill it up. He's preparing the church. And I believe it with all of my heart, my spirit. And God is just putting all the things in place, and the dots are connecting, and we're saying, let's go for it in Jesus' name. And He has the drawings. We were in a meeting the other night with the contractor, and had them all spread out on the table. And I'm sitting there looking at that, and an auditorium that'll seat 1,000 people. And I said, let's go for it, and let's fill it up. And I'm confident. Somebody said, if it's God's will. How many believe it was God's will for Landmark to have this beautiful building? So if it's God's will, it's God's bill. And He's going to pay for it through people just like you. Amen. Brother Marshman, I would love to, with your permission, to ask my wife to write a check and pay it off tonight. I would love to do it, but we don't have the money. I would love to. I'd love to. But you know what? God's going to take care of it. I said, God's going to take care of it. Stand with me. I've already kept you long enough, haven't I? But we're going to take you to the word of the Lord, and I'm going to do my best to try to build faith and instill faith in you tonight to never give up. Look at somebody and say, don't you dare give up now. We're too close to the end. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 18, began reading with verse number 41. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to Mount Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, go up now and look toward the sea. And he went up and he looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up and say to Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and the wind, and there was, everybody say, a great rain. I want to speak to you for a few moments tonight and lift our faith and confidence in God again. I want to talk to you about the power that comes with persistence. Would you say that with me? the power that comes with persistence. And everybody shout amen. You may be seated. What is persistence? Persistence is the quality that allows someone to continue doing something or trying to do something, even though it may be difficult or there may be opposition by other people. But persistence looks at the obstacle in the eye and says, I will do it. I will get through this. Persistence is somebody that is going to make it happen. Somebody said the problem with society today is we need to stop wearing our wishbone where our backbone ought to be. Instead of just sitting around and wishing it would happen, we need to put our hand to the wheel and make it happen. Patience, persistence, and perspiration make an unbeatable combination for success. You just keep keeping on. Someone said that it was a tennis player. They said, my greatest point is my persistence, because I never give up in a tennis match, although I may be behind in the score. However down that I may be, I fight until the last ball is hit over the net. My list of matches will show that I have turned a great many so-called irretrievable defeats into victory because I was persistent. Winston Churchill once said that success is stumbling from one failure to another with no loss of enthusiasm. You just keep keeping on. In the book of Luke, Jesus said that, I tell you, ask, and if you'll ask, it'll be given to you. And if you seek, you will find it. And if you knock, it'll be opened to you. For everyone who asks, they will receive. And the one who seeks, he will find. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. The Bible says that we are not to grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not. The thing that got my attention when I was reading the story of this servant and the prophet and Ahab. First of all, the servant went the first time and he returned with a report. And the prophet said, what do you see? He said, nothing. That didn't discourage. It didn't stop. It didn't dampen the prophet's vision. He said, go again. But I like what he added to it. He said, go again. Seven times. Now, I don't know about you, but if I would have been the servant, I think it would have dawned on me. When I go the second time, I'm not going to see anything. When I go the third time, I'm not going to see anything. When I go the fourth time, I'm not going to see anything. Because the prophet said, go seven times. Amen. So that would tell me I'm not going to see anything even the sixth time. But on that seventh journey up the mountain is when I'm going to look out over the ocean and I'm going to see a cloud the size of a man's hand. And he came back down the mountain the second time. I don't see where the prophet even asked him, did you see anything? Because the man of God knew there was nothing out there, because he had already told him, you got to go seven times. And he came back, and then he went back up the mountain the third time. Came back down. The prophet never asked him, what did you see this time? They both knew the answer was nothing. But then on the seventh time, He came back down and he said, "Sir, I saw a cloud about the size of a man's hand." And he said, "Go tell Ahab that it's going to rain." Sometimes we've got to learn the lesson of persistency. Now, I don't know about you, but let me be very transparent. There's been times that I've come to the house of God and I didn't feel anything. But you know what? That didn't keep me from coming back the next Sunday. And if I didn't feel anything that Sunday, I came back the next Sunday. And if I didn't feel anything in that service, I came back the next service. But I knew if I was persistent, God would show up and the windows of heaven would open and the rains would begin to fall. Maybe you've even shared privately with your pastor. "Pastor, I don't know what's wrong with me. Something must be going on in the spirit. I just don't feel what I used to feel." Amen. Take courage, my friend. You just keep being faithful to the house of God. You just keep being faithful to prayer meeting. You just keep being faithful to all the activity. Amen. Just cause you don't feel it doesn't mean that God's not at work. God was preparing the storm, but it was out further over the ocean than what the servant could see at the moment. But it was moving in his direction. Can I stop by to tell you tonight that God's greatest revival that has ever hit the earth is moving in the direction of the church. We are seeing unprecedented miracles. Some that you even heard tonight of the missions report. God is doing phenomenal things around the world, and we need to be excited about it. And just cause it's not happening on my watch and right now doesn't mean that I give up and fold up and quit and go out of business. No, I'm going to keep going to the mountain. I'm going to keep coming to church. I'm going to stay in the prayer room, because one of these services, just one of these services, there'll be the breakthrough. The problem that we have and where we live is found in the scripture, verse 45. "And it came to pass." You see, the servant was going up and down the mountain. It comes on the seventh time that he said that there's a cloud about the size of a man's hand. But hear me. Just cause he saw the cloud, he didn't feel the rain. Sometimes God sends signs and signals in our direction to let us know it's on the way. It's coming in your direction. But verse number 48 kind of sums it all up. "And it came to pass when," in the meanwhile. In the meanwhile, it was in the meanwhile. That's where you and I are living right now, some of us. We're living in that interval called the meanwhile. We've had a sure word from God. We've had a prophetic word spoke over us that it's going to happen. You're going to get your healing. Your miracle's going to come. Your prayer's going to be answered. But we get caught in the meanwhile and we think God has forgot all about us and nothing's happening. But in the meanwhile, somewhere out over the Mediterranean, the clouds begin to roll in. The winds begin to blow. And God was putting the storm and the rain all together in the meanwhile. I've learned. I've got to live with assurance in that interval called the meanwhile. Because in the meanwhile, I don't see the black clouds rolling in. In the meanwhile, the winds aren't blowing. In the meanwhile, the raindrops are not falling. But I've got to live with the confidence. If he said it, I'm going to believe it. And it's going to happen just like he said. And so in the meanwhile, it's where we are waiting, and it's where we are anticipating for that miracle to come that we were given a promise of some time ago. And so living in the meanwhile is where we are at. It's the time when we see nothing happening. The meanwhile is when there seems to be no apparent progress. The meanwhile is when it seems that things might be going in reverse while we are trying to press forward. But it was in the meanwhile, when they didn't think it was happening, that the black clouds started rolling in. And in the meanwhile, the winds began to pick up. And in the meanwhile, the thunder started clapping. And in the meanwhile, the rain started falling. Can I tell somebody, you may not see it, you may not hear it, and you may not feel it tonight, but keep going to the mountain. God's got a word for you. I've watched, and I leaned over to a good brother sitting behind me here a moment ago, and I said, "You're hanging in there, aren't you?" He said, "I'm hanging in there." Sometimes we just need a good dose of that hanging in there spirit. Then I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit. No matter what happens, if my miracle don't come today, I'm going to keep believing it for tomorrow. I'm going to stay with it. And God will eventually come through. James wrote it this way. He said, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those that love him." The man that's steadfast. You know, there's a lot of people, they come on and they make a big splash and then they're gone. But God's interested in people like you who just, you're faithful. That's what a church is built on. People who are faithful and committed, and they're a part of it. Paul was writing to Timothy, who was a young man in the gospel, and he said, "But watch thou in all things," and then he tagged this in. "Timothy, endure afflictions," because afflictions are going to come. He said, "Endure hardness as a good soldier," because there's going to be some hard times. Has anybody here ever gone through some hard times? You know what I'm talking about. It's those hard times. It's when you don't feel anything, when the goosebumps aren't there, and you don't feel like going to church, but you drag yourself out and go anyhow. But you know what? You're persistent, and there's a power that comes with persistence. And if you will keep going, if God ever gave you a promise that go again seven times, you just keep going, knowing that the second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth time, you may not hear anything, see anything, or feel anything, but you just keep going anyhow. What do we need today? We need a revival of understanding the power of the seventh trip up the mountain. The seventh trip up the mountain is when God shows us that he's working and everything is going to be all right. I well remember, and I have been in those seasons called the meanwhile. I remember it was 1985. Brother Marshburn, we had about 35 to 40 people in our congregation in Lumberton, and we were struggling and beating our head against the wall, and I was working a job, my wife was working a job, and we were trying to raise a child, and it was tough. It was hard. And I remember going to that little sanctuary on the east side of town. I think you've preached there. And I was there all by myself. And I said, "God, it's camp meeting time in North Carolina. And I've heard the stories of people that would go to meetings and somebody would come up and didn't even know them and say, 'God gave me a word for you.' and they'd begin to prophesy over them, and it would come to pass. I said, God, that's never happened to me. And I'm going to camp meeting tonight, and I'm struggling, God, with trying to grow this church. And I need a word from you tonight. And so I'm sitting there. There's about 1,200 people in that auditorium that night. I'm sitting off to the right of the platform about halfway back. Brother Gordon Mallory was preaching the camp meeting. And he said, it's never happened to me before or since in this wise. But he was preaching. And while he was preaching, God spoke to me and said, will you believe what this man is getting ready to tell you? Well, I thought it was me, because I'd been at the church that day praying, God, it's never happened to me. I need to get a word from you tonight. And I thought, well, this is just my flesh, that I want it so bad. I need it so bad. And so I just passed it off. It wasn't but just a matter of moments. God spoke to me again and said, will you believe what this man is getting ready to tell you? I said, God, I will believe you for anything tonight. Just that fast. No sooner had I got it out of my mouth, Brother Mallory closed his Bible. He said, folks, I'm done. He wasn't even halfway through his message or his notes. He said, I'm done. God just spoke to me about a pastor in this room here tonight. I don't mind telling you, I got as limp as a piece of spaghetti. I thought, hey, this really is real. He said, I want every pastor to stand up and come down to the front. And I could not hardly walk Brother Marshburn down that aisle. And it was everything I could do. I thought, oh God, this is really happening to me. And you just spoke to me. And evidently, I'm the one tonight. And so we're standing across that platform there in that auditorium. And Brother Mallory is just, he's kind of pacing back and forth. And he's just exhorting and in all of that. And it seemed like eternity. And I'm standing there and I'm saying, oh God, is this really my night? Am I going to hear? I didn't know Brother Mallory. He didn't know me. We'd never met. We'd never shaken hands. And so he's just walking back and forth, and he stops and he said, you're the man. God just gave me a word for you. And he said, where do you pastor at, young man? I said, in Lumberton, North Carolina. He said, what's the population of your city? I said, 20,000. He said, God wants to know, will you believe him for the tithe off your city? I said, Brother Mallory, right now I'll believe God for anything. Hey, amen. I'll tell you how I got to that point. I didn't stop going to the mountain. I didn't quit believing that the miracle wasn't for me. I never doubted that God couldn't do it. But on that seventh time to the mountain, I saw the cloud. And then after the meanwhile, the rains began to come, the winds began to blow, and the thunder began to clap. And I knew, God, this is what you spoke for me. And I've lived with that vision. And I've lived with that determination, and it's put a persistence in me that when it just wasn't there, when we'd walk in and there wouldn't be a visitor in the house, I'd go back the next Sunday and I'd say, maybe this is going to be the day. Maybe this will be the weekend somebody's going to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Maybe this will be the weekend that somebody is going to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Why? I just kept going to the mountaintop. Can I preach to somebody today? Don't give up on the brink of a miracle. I said, don't give up on the brink of your miracle. Go again. 2 years ago at our watch night service, pastor was casting vision. Department leaders would come up and say, cast their vision of what they had anticipated for that year. And the outreach director walked up and he was talking about home Bible studies. And he said, I'm going to believe God for 200 souls to be filled with the Holy Ghost this year. I'll be honest. I sat over there and I said, right. We've never seen 200 souls filled with the Holy Ghost in a year. But I'm glad to report that God started pouring out His Spirit, made a believer out of me, and at the end of the year, 189 people had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The next year, there was almost 90 that received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And God has poured out His Spirit. And I've lived long enough that I'm seeing the fulfillment of that prophecy that Brother Mowry gave over me that night. Hey friend, I want to tell you, just keep persistence in your vocabulary. There's power in it. And if you keep pressing on, you'll see. You'll see what God will do in His time. But we have to endure. We have to keep going. We have to keep pressing. And there's power that comes with persistence. I wonder what would have happened to that servant if after the second or third trek up that hill, he'd come back and he thought, and he would say, you know, I believe this prophet has missed it tonight. I believe he was way off base when he told me to go again 7 times. But he didn't do that. Even though he didn't feel anything and hear anything and see anything. And I'm talking to somebody right now. You may be at the lowest point on your spiritual thermometer, but you hear me. There's revival in the air, and don't give up when your miracle is about that close to coming to you. Don't give up. Don't quit. And the best advice that I could give tonight is if the man of God says, keep going, you know what you do? You keep going. My father-in-law, who is 86 and it'll be 87 in a few months, he comes out, we bring him out every Christmas, every Father's Day, and he lives in Northwest Arkansas. We bring him out, and our folks always love to hear him preach. And an 87-year-old man still got fire in him. They just love it. And he was preaching this past Christmas. And I don't know that I've ever heard him better in my life. But he got to preaching about faith and miracles and believing and hanging on. And he said that when he was pastoring in Missouri, that people would call him and say, Pastor, I'm sick. I can't come tonight. And he was those that was raised under the old school, if you know what I mean. Let me just tell you about the old school. He was raised in a Bible college in Tulsa, Oklahoma. His pastor, Brother Williams, who was pastor and president of the college, he believed that you trusted God. And if you went to the doctor, you were leaning on the arm of the flesh and you weren't trusting God. And so he taught his church, and I'm not talking about a storefront building. He had hundreds back in the 50s, had a large church and a large Bible college in Tulsa. And he said, don't go to those doctors. You come to church and we'll anoint you with a bottle of oil and we'll pray over you and God will heal you. Well, that's the way my father-in-law was raised. Everybody say persistent. And so one day my wife, I don't know if she fell or what, but she just split her forehead open. She was bleeding profusely and they got fearful that their daughter was going to bleed to death. They looked at each other and they said, pastor said to trust God. And so we just got to trust God. Well, the more the blood flowed, the less faith they were having. And they put her in the back seat of the car and they started to the hospital. And they were praying one last time. Oh God, we don't want to be disobedient to the man of God. And he said, if we would pray, you would heal. And if you look at my wife's forehead tonight, there's not a scar or anything. They said, I think my mother-in-law was holding her in the back seat in her lap, said that thing closed up, the bleeding stopped, and there's not even a scar on her forehead. Somebody hear me tonight. We got to learn to trust God when nothing is happening. But he said there would be people in the church and they'd call him, Pastor, I can't be there tonight. I'm sick. Well, he couldn't help the way he was raised and the faith that he had. And he'd say, brother, sister, you come to church tonight. I will anoint you with oil and pray and God will heal you and you'll walk out healed. They would come to church. Man, they would have high fevers. They would be sick in their body, and it would be all they could do to get there. You know, we don't preach that today. We got, well, I started to say better sense, but we got less faith. But they would walk in the door. It was all they could do to get there. They would come up to the altar and say, Pastor, I don't feel good, but you said if I'd come, you'd pray for me and God would heal me. And he'd take that bottle of oil, Brother Marshburn. He would anoint their head with oil. He would lay hands on them and instantly God would touch them. I say, oh God, give us that kind of faith. Give us that kind of persistence. Give us that kind of power that we can say, God, I'm going to trust you for anything. Is there anybody in the house tonight that you believe you could trust him for anything? I close with this. I don't really like to talk about money, but it's kind of a barometer and a thermometer of how God blesses. 2 years ago, I told my wife, and I just felt impressed. I said, honey, we're going to start paying 12% tithes. Bible only expects 10%. I said, but I want us to pay 12% tithe. I cannot tell you the financial blessings that God began to pour out. And the blessing just kept coming in. Financial blessings that I never thought was possible. And we just kept giving more to God and more into the work of God and more to that local church. And the more we give, the more that God would bless us with. Last Sunday night, my wife is in Arkansas. But while I was at, because of the times, Brother Marshburn, they were taken, I think they ended up with $684,000 offering for missions. And I was just wanting to be a part. And it was like God put in my spirit, just hold on, because your mission now is coming to Lumberton. And so I hesitated. And God said, what we're going to give in the offering tonight, I want you to give in the offering next Sunday night in your church. And lo and behold, Pastor LaDon gets up and launches in to raise this money to buy that property that they had agreed on. And so I'd never told my wife about it. And I just said, okay, I'm going to give this many $1,000s in that offering. And she got home, and it was yesterday before we left. She was balancing the checkbook or doing something. And she said, oh, by the way, how much did you pledge Sunday night? And I told her. She didn't look at me like I was dumb and stupid and where's it going to come from. She just said, okay. And so we gave that money. the next, I was sitting on the platform. You ready for this? I'm sitting on the platform on Wednesday night. My phone vibrates and I look at it. And so I said, well, isn't that nice? And after service, I walked to Pastor as he was dismissing. I said, I've got something to say. He said, what's that, Dad? I said, look at that. That is exactly double of what I gave Sunday night in that offering. And I said, I want to tell the church. And I told the church, I said, you know, 2 years ago, folks, I made a pledge. It was personal that I was going to start paying 10% tithe. And I told the audience, I said, I want you to look at a man. I said, everybody look at me. Look up here. And everybody was just looking at me. I said, you're looking at a man that God is getting ready to bless. And don't get envious when the blessing comes. And I told him that I was going to start paying 12% tithe, Cody. Amen. And sitting on the platform Wednesday night, I looked at my phone and it was a pop-up that came. And I had received exactly double what I put in the offering Sunday night. I'm telling you, there's a power that comes in persistence. I said there's a power that comes in persistence. Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. Hey, man, I want to tell this church, and I want you to hear this preacher tonight. If you will just be faithful and do what you can do, God will do what God can do. And God will take care of everything else. I remember Brother Marshburn, and I close with this. I remember in 1987, we had 40 people. And we put a shovel in the dirt, and we started digging the footings for the building in Lumberton. Had 40 people. I told my wife, I said, sink or swim, we've got to do it. We've got to do it. In 6 months and 2 weeks, we moved into a sanctuary that would seat 200 people. 40 people, we worked day and night, and we built that building to the glory of God. What seemed like a mountain of a payment, to God, it was nothing. Revival began to come. People began to walk in the doors. People were coming from other denominations in the city. We were the most talked about, and we gave every pastor something to preach to his church on Sunday morning. They were criticizing us. They were calling us by name. You don't want to go to the Pentecostals. They'll ruin your life. They'll mess you up in your mind about God. We just kept pushing on. And we kept pushing on. And today, there's a church of over 300 people. They're strong. And now, they're looking at a auditorium, a building about this size. I'm saying, persistence pays off. I want to close this way. I want you to take somebody's hand and I want you to come stand down to this altar, and we're going to pray here in closing. If you're here and you need a miracle in your body, there's a bottle of oil. Pastor can anoint you with oil and God can touch you tonight. Yes, He can. There may be somebody here tonight, and I just want to say it. You may not understand everything the man of God does. But I have learned, if I will trust the man of God in my life, God will honor that trust, and blessings will come in my direction. Amen. I want you to lift your hands right now. And maybe you are here tonight, I don't know. But maybe you've struggled with some things. Maybe you've been up the mountain 3 or 4 times and you don't see any evidence of any movement from God. Maybe you're even on your 6th journey up that mountain and you're saying, God, where are you at? You told me to keep going and keep coming and be faithful, but God, I don't hear anything, I don't see anything, I don't witness anything, but God, I'm going to go again. Well, tonight, for somebody, it's going to be your 7th trip to the mountaintop. And if you'll reach up, and if you'll reach out, God will give you a miracle tonight in the name of the Lord. Come on, somebody, let's praise Him. Let's praise Him, somebody. Reach over and pray for somebody. Hallelujah.
Let's act upon the word of God. The man was in the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God is here to touch. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to... Now the sheep know the sheep. And you know exactly what's going on with your brother and your sister. You know exactly what they're going through. Sister Harris needs a touch from God desperately tonight. We're anointing her with oil and praying the prayer of faith right now. But there are needs in the house that only you know about. Would you go find it? You go find that need. And you have faith with your brother. And you have faith with your sister right now. Somebody needs comfort. Somebody needs strength. Somebody needs victory. Somebody needs overcoming. Somebody needs to lay something down. Somebody needs to pick something up. Whatever it may be, you know what it is. Go help them. They've discussed it with you. You heard. You felt it. I want you to believe God with them right now. I want you to trust God with them right now. And let's believe the Lord to minister. Let's believe the Lord to touch. Let's believe the Lord to help. Let's believe God to give them hope and assistance right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Greater things are yet to come. Greater things.
Oh, yes. Yes. My God, my God, my God, my God, my God. Lord, your Spirit. Lord, your Spirit. Lord, your touch, your grace, your anointing, your hope, your help. Hallelujah. 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 Yes. 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 Yes.
There's no one like God.
This is your time. This is your time. This is your night. This is your service. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. My. Greater things. Greater things.
Greater things still to be done.
rain.
Let it rain, let it rain, let it rain.
Folks, this morning, Spirit of the Lord moved and Pastor gave you iron. And you had to be here to hear the message to understand what I'm saying. But I gave you iron. And tonight, the man of God has come and he has given you meat. What a diet today. What a full meal deal today. If we take what God has done for us this Sunday and apply it when we wake up on Monday, I'm telling you, you're going to have a brighter week. You're going to have a better week. Amen. To our guest, to all of our visitors, please hear me. Don't judge us by one service. Amen. If you love this one, you're going to love the next one better. If you love that one, you're going to love the next one because it only gets greater at Landmark. Amen. And if you felt something, you had no idea what you were feeling, but it felt good, that's because this is your church. This is your church. Amen. We didn't come to build a church so that you could visit and say, their church down there is awesome. No, we built this for you. This is your church. Amen. This is your church, and you have just as much right here as I do or anyone else in this building. And we are so glad to have you. We are so glad to have you. Amen. Clap your hands if you preached real good.